Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Zayin. We begin on Daf Vav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Yesterday we concluded that according to the Rabbanon, a Sukkah needs to have at least Shtayim Kelchasan, two full-size walls, Ushlishis Afilu Tefach, the third one being merely a Tefach. Says the Gemara, Va'ose Tefach Heichan Ma'amidei. Where will he position that Tefach? Amarav, Ma'amidei Keneged Ayotzei. Just place it at the end of the wall. So if you have an L-shaped sukkah, as presented in the diagram in Rashi, so you have one wall here, one wall to the side, where do you place the Tefach? Says Rav, very simple. Place it Keneged Ayotzei at the end of the wall, it's either here or here. Amr le'Rav Kahana, v'Rav Asi le'Rav. So they asked Rav, why don't you position it in a way where it may appear like it's connecting to the other wall? V'yamidenu, you should position that tefach k'neged roish tur, like a roish of a tur. Rashi says a tur is a shura, the row in the farm. So the rows would narrow to a point, like a triangle. Some say Rosh Tur, the head of an ox. So it's wide in the back and narrows towards the front. In any case, we're speaking about presenting the Tefach here in a triangular fashion. As you'll notice in the diagram in Rashi on top of the Amud. So they maintain that's better. Sure, you place it at the end of the wall, but facing the other wall, to give it the impression like it's connecting to the other wall. So if you have a wall in the back, a wall to the side, that tefach, instead of just placing it flat here, facing nowhere, tilt it, angle it towards the other wall. So it gives the impression like it's connecting to it and creating an enclosure. So either place it here, facing here, or place it here, facing there. Connected to Rosh Tur. Why isn't that required? Shasag Rav remained silent. Apparently, he didn't deem it necessary. He didn't consider it important to do this. The tefach is merely like a side post. Rabbi Chanan says it's like a Pesach HaSukkah. As long as you have two proper walls, you can place that tefach at the end. It's like a doorpost to the enclosure within. Itmer Nami, we learned likewise. Amar Shmuel, Meshmei Delevi, Mami Dekineged Ayotzei, just like Rav, place it at the end of the wall without angling it towards the other wall. V'chein moirin be'medrasha, likewise they paskin in the base medrash, ma'amidoi k'neged ayotz. However, Rabbi Simon, v'itema v'shum levi amar, this is an entirely new shita. So far we have two shitas. Rav says, place it k'neged ayotz, just straight. Rav Kahana and Asi maintain, you meant to tilt it towards the other wall to give it a triangular impression. Rabbi Simon and some say v'shum levi held even further. You can't just suffice with a tefach. You have to fashion that tefach into a semi-wall. How do you do that? Oyseloi tefach soichik. You take a tefach, but a bulging tefach, a generous tefach, Rashi explains. Typically, a tefach consists of four finger widths for its boys. But instead of measuring them tightly, lying together, you measure it soichik, like a person who's smiling, generous, open, so the fingers are lying generously, loosely, in which case it's really going to be wider than a tefach. So this is a tefach soichik, which is technically more than a tefach. That's how wide that board has to be. And where do you position it? You can't just place it anywhere. You have to place it within three tefachim to the wall. And when it's within three tefachim to the daifin, it's loved. We learned the other day, loved means it's cancelled out. We view the tefach soichik as though it continues through that gap and connects to the wall. So this shita is portrayed in the first diagram. You'll notice on the right side of the Gemara there are four diagrams. The top diagram describes this shita, which is more machmer. You have two walls, and the tefach has to be positioned within three to the daifin. So you have one wall in the back, one off to the side. The tefach, instead of being placed right next to the wall, as per Rav and Rav Kahana and Rav Shita, he holds, no, you have to place it within three tefachim to the wall. You have to leave a gap. So now you're going to create a doifen. How is that? Doifen sukkah is seven tefachim. It's a sheer heksher sukkah. This configuration will result in a four tefach board, which is most of heksher sukkah, and that's enough. So you have a bit more than a tefach in the board itself, and a bit less than three tefachim in the space between. So now you've connected this tefach to the wall and created this virtual four tefach wide board, which is most of heksher sukkah. And that's how you meant to use that tefach. So according to this shita, you can't just use the tefach as a side post and just place it next to the wall. It has to be at a distance of three tefachim to create that tefach lovet configuration. So this results in a four tefach board being created, which is the most of a heksher sukkah. And now you have a kasher sukkah. You have two solid walls, and the third one is just a hashlama. It complements the other walls, being that you have something significant. You have most of a wall. So summary, when we speak about a typical sukkah, which has two walls connected, the Gemara is going to refer to it as Shtaim Kol Chasantzum, two connected walls, a Raven, the Ran calls it, connected, attached walls. In which case, we can have a Shlishi Tefach to complement, to finish up that enclosure. Rav says, you place a connected Hayyotze. Rav Kana Rav Asi maintained, yeah, you put it there, but in an angle towards the wall on the other side. Whereas Rabbi Simon, some say Rabbi Shimon Levi maintain that the tefach has to be fashioned into a doifen, into a rave doifen. So it needs to be a tefach plus and positioned at a distance from that wall within three tefachim, which results in a doifen of four tefachim. Now the Gemara is going to address a different type of sukkah. Omar viewed the sukkah asuya kemavik shira, a sukkah which appears like an alleyway. So this is presented in the second diagram on the side of the Gemara. You have one wall, you have another wall parallel to each other. It's like an alleyway. So they're not connected. There's not kilchasa, not a raven. Two disconnected walls. Kshira, that's also fine. Where do you place the third tefach? Voice a tefach ma'amid l'chol ruach shiyirtza. The third wall, which is merely a tefach, is placed wherever you want it. So you have two walls. You can place it at the head of this one, the head of this one, the back of this one, the back of this one. Doesn't matter where you place it. Rabbi Simon v'itema, Rabbi Shimon Levi Omar, they say differently. Here, you have to take that tefach and stretch it. Stretch it even more than the previous Gemara. See, over there, you had an advantage because the sukkah was an L-shaped configuration. It created some sort of enclosure. So over there, you have to take the tefach and form it into a four tefach board. Here they're going to say you have to do even more than that because the walls are disconnected, don't relate to each other. So you have to sort of create a brand new wall and connect that wall to one of these two. So how do you do that? Oy solei pas arba'a umashu. You take a board, which is four and a bit, and place this one as well within three tefachim to the wall. Anything within three is considered connected and one continuous entity. So you may want to refer to the diagram on the right again. It's going to be the third diagram. So you see a wall on the right, a wall on the left, and a pas dalet, a board four tefachim wide, placed near one of the walls within three tefachim. So now you have a full heksher sukkah. Why? So here's the wall on the right. Here's the wall on the left. You take a board which is four and a bit and place it within three to the wall. So the board is four plus. The gap is a bit under three. It gives you a total of seven, which is heksher sukkah, the shear of a daifin. So now you really have three walls around your sukkah. Says the Gemara, but why is it that in this case they need a board which is four tefachim, and in the previous case a tefach soichik was enough? Umayish nahasam the ka'amris sagya tefach soichik. Why in the previous case we had the L-shaped configuration? Did you maintain that even a tefach is enough if you place it within three to the wall? Umayish nahasam the ka'amris boya pasar bo. And why is it that over here you require more, a board which is four? The big difference, says the Gemara, you have more with more to work with over there. You have an L-shaped sukkah. You have two connected walls. Hasam the ikar shtei tefanes kel chasam. Over there you have two walls which are connected to each other. That's called kel chasam. Other Rishonim Agoyers, da'arevan, they're mixed, they're connected, they're attached. So there's something what to work with. There's an enclosure there. Sagli b'tefach sukkah, over there. Even a tefach sukkah is enough. It's only coming to complement the initial enclosure. Hacha the lekash teitfanis. But over here, we don't have two connected walls. You have a mavi, parallel walls, unconnected. Here, you have to do more to create an enclosure. Iika pas arba in. So if you have a four tefach board, which is placed within three to the wall, from which results in a doifin of seven, in, that works, that's okay. Because now you've created an L-shaped configuration. Eloyloy, but otherwise not. So again, regarding the sukkah kemavi, you have a wall on the right, wall on the left. One shita maintains, that's fine. It's like shtayim kel chasam, and therefore the shlishi tefach can place wherever you choose. At the end here, at the end there, doesn't matter. According to the other shita, umo machmer, even more than the previous case. Since we don't have two connected walls, you have to create a connection, you have to create a corner, an L shape somehow. How do you do that? You take a four tefach board, place it within three to one of the walls, which creates a doifen of sheva, and that's going to be your third wall. Okay, now let's go back to the first case, to shtayim kel chasam, L-shaped configuration. We had three shittas. Now the Gemara is going to present another three options in the name of Rav. Omar Rav ve'inu niteres ala b'tzuras ha-pesach. So this is actually described in the fourth diagram from the top. So you have an L-shaped sukkah with a tefach, but that tefach, says Rava, has to be fashioned into a Tzuras HaPesach. It's something which appears like a doorpost, which is applied all over Shas. Shabbos, Kalayim. If you have something on the right, a pole on the left, and a pole running across the top, we call an Erev. So that's called a Tzuras HaPesach. It gives the appearance of a doorway and it's considered like it's closed up, because whatever is on the other side of the doorway is a different entity. It's beyond the door. The door acts like a mafsik, like a machitza, says Rava. We have an L-shaped sukkah, wall on the back, wall on the side, and you want to apply the tefach. You can't just apply it by placing it next to the wall. You have to turn it into a Tzuras HaPesach. You have to split that tefach into two parts. Leave a half a tefach near the wall, another half a tefach at the other side of that imaginary wall, and run something along the top. So you're taking that tefach and fashioning it into a Tzuras HaPesach. Says Rava, according to this version in the Gemara, according to this lashon of Rava, you have to be machmer. The shlishis of the tefach has to be turned into the Tzuras HaPesach as well, in which case now you have a proper enclosure and the sukkah is kosher. Now Tosfos points out, although generally a Tzuras HaPesach doesn't need half a tefach pole on either side, even a mashu is enough, he says by sukkah they were machmer because we need mechitzes hanikoris, more tangible, visible mechitzes to create the dira. Therefore, in this case, to generate a Tzuras HaPesach is something substantial. So once again, the tefach is going to be split into two parts, a half of which is going to be placed next to the wall, the other half on the other side of that imaginary third wall, with a kana, with a beam, string, etc., running across the top to create an enclosure. Ikadamri is another version of Rava. Amar Rava v'niteres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. You don't need both. It's either or. V'niteres nami b'tzuras ha-pesach. You can substitute. the tefach by using a tzuras ha-pesach. So you have an L-shaped sukkah. Instead of placing a tefach there, just run a tzuras ha-pesach over that side, and you're okay. And you don't need the pole on either side to be half a tefach. Why? You don't need that. As long as you have a thin pole on one side, there on the other side, something running across the top, you've created an enclosure at Pesach, that's okay. So it's either or. Shtaim kil chasam. But the shlish is going to be either a tefach or a tzuras ha-pesach. Ikedami amar Rava. There's a third version of Rava, which says like this. Uveri machmer. Utzricha nami tzuras ha-pesach. He holds not only. Are you going to need a tefach? Now Rashi explains that Rav is following the shita that holds tefach soichik, Rabbi Shimon Levi. So not only do you need a tefach soichik within three to the wall to create that four tefach board, from that tefach you need a tzuras ha-pesach stretching all the way to the end of that wall. So both are needed. You need a solid board, so to speak, of four. It's not really solid, it's a tefach with a lavet to give you a four tefach wall, plus a tzuras ha-pesach to complete the rest of that daif. So we have three lashonis of Rav. Again, we're speaking about an L-shaped sukkah. According to the first lashon, you have to take the tefach, place it halfway here, halfway there, split into two halves, half tefach near the wall, run a tzuras ha-pesach from itself all the way to the other side, where you have the other half of the tefach standing. That's the first lashon of Rava. So you need both elements, a tefach which is turned into a tzuras ha-pesach. To the second version, it's either or. Either you place the tefach soichik, within three to the wall, that's okay, or you run a tzuras ha-pesach along that side, you don't need both. According to the third version of Rava, you need both. A tefach soichik within three to the wall, plus a tzuras ha-pesach running from that tefach to the end of the wall, to complete the enclosure. So the Rav Ashi Ashkeche Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi noticed Rav Kahana, the ka'ovet tefach soichik. The ka'ovet tzuras ha-pesach. He did both things. Tefach soichik within three, plus he added the tzuras ha-pesach from that tefach to the end of that wall. Amalei le'sava mar lo de Rav. Why are you being so machmer? You don't hold the Rav, the Rav of Neteres, nami b'tzuras ha-pesach? He's referring to the second version of Rav, that either or is fine, either the tefach or tzuras ha-pesach, why didn't you do both? Amalei said, no. Anok idach lishna de Rav asfirli. I hold the third lashna of Rav, the Amar, Rav, utzricha nami tzuras ha-pesach. You need both. Tefach soichik within three, plus tzuras ha-pesach, and that's why I did it in the manner in which I did. So conclusion, a sukkah needs shtayim kol chasam, shlishis afilo tefach. Where do you position that tefach? So in the case of shnayim kol chasam, which means it's an L-shaped configuration, we actually have six versions. Rav says, connected to it's very simple, place the tefach at the end of the wall. Rav Kahana, Rav Asi maintain, has to be koresh tur, in a diagonal, facing the other wall. Rabbi Simon, some say Shimon Levi hold, you have to fashion that tefach into a wall. It's not enough to serve as a side post. You have to turn it into at least most of a wall. So you have a tefach plus, tefach sechik, which is placed within three to the daifin, which creates a four tefach daifin. Then you have three versions in Rava. Version number one held, you have to take that tefach and turn it into a tzuras ha-pesach. So split the pesach into the tefach into two, half of which is placed near the wall, half all the way on the other side of that third wall that you're trying to create, and run something along the top, turn it into a doorway. Version 2 held, either a tefach seichik within three to the wall, or a tzuras ha-pesach, either one is enough. On to version 3, a machmer. You need a tefach seichik next to the wall, and the fact that it's within three gives you a four tefach daif in there. Plus, the rest can't be just left open. It has to be closed off with a tzuras ha-pesach. Regarding a sukkah kamavi, two parallel walls unconnected, who you maintain, that's fine, it's shtayim kol chasam, just place your tefach any way you want. Rabbi Simon, some say, Shimon Levi hold, Here you have to fashion the tefach not only into a roiv doifin, to four, you have to actually create a doifin of seven and connect it to the one of those freestanding walls. How do you do that? You create a pas arba plus, four plus, and you place it within three of one of those walls, in which case now you have a mechitz of seven, and that's your third wall. Continues the Gemara. Shtaim kechasen. So we know that sukkah can use two walls plus a tefach. Now this only works for sukkah. You see, there's a big difference between the mechitzes of Shabbos, which are separators, trying to create a division, a partition between two rishis. In that case, you need to be fully enclosed. You need to have three mechitzes to create the rishis hayachad. By sukkah, you don't need that much, because sukkah works differently. You're creating an entity, a mokim dira, in which case the Gemara tells us by way of Halacha Mishmei Sinai, two full walls and just a tefach is enough to create that sukkah. So when it comes to sukkah, eating, drinking, sleeping, two and a bit is enough. When it comes to carrying on Shabbos, you need three mechitzes to create a full enclosure. Here comes a chiddush. Amar Rava v'chein l'Shabbos. Suppose you have a sukkah on Shabbos. You can use even a sukkah which only has two and a bit for halacha Shabbos as well. Since it so happens to be that it's Shabbos and Sukkos, migu d'avidoyfin l'inyan sukkah. Since this enclosure is considered an enclosure for sukkah, this third wall, which is merely a tefach, works for Sukkos. It creates a mokum dira. Havidoyfin l'inyan Shabbos. It's regarded as a doyfin with respect to Hilchos Shabbos as well for carrying. Says Rashi, the first wide line, v'chein l'Shabbos. Even though really Shabbos and sukkah work differently, but since it so happens to be that it's Shabbos Sukkos, so it's a Shabbos Sukkah, just as it functions for Sukkos, you don't differentiate. It creates a Sukkah entity. By default, it's considered a separate Rishus for Shabbos as well. And you may carry in the Sukkah. It says Rashi, Afal Pishat Tzorach L'Shabbos, Sholosh Mechitis, Lo'as Rishus HaYachid. Although typically Shabbos needs three Mechitis to create Rishus HaYachid. Shabbos Shal Sukkos? If it so happens to be Shabbos, which falls out on Sukkos, Muta lismeich al mechitzes as sukkah. You can rely on the sukkah's mechitzes. In Masa b'shus harab, samach l'pischa sukkah. He has a sukkah near his house. In b'shus harab, de'ein b'shut el ha'shtayim kilchosan. U'shlish tafilu tefach, which only has two proper walls, and the third one is just a tefach. Machnis u'moitzi hemena l'beisei. You can carry in and out of your home, because the sukkah is regarded as a rishus hayachad. Likewise, you can carry in the sukkah. V'afagav de b'shar Shabbos is l'mishteri. Says Rashi, although typically this is not enough for Shabbos. For Shabbos, you need three full mechitzes to create an enclosure, to create a separate rishus. Inami b'shar mechitzes she'enen shal sukkah l'mishteru b'hachi. And likewise, even today on Sukkos, if you happen to have two mechitzes and a tefach sitting somewhere that are not serving in sukkah capacity, doesn't work for Shabbos. However, l'Shabbos, the sukkah sharia. But when it comes to the halacha Shabbos in a sukkah, it works. The migu da'u tefach agmi rechmona l'mechitze sukkah d'lahavi l'dayfin shleimu l'sukkah. Since Hashem tells Moshe that this third dayfin, this tefach, works for sukkah, creates a mokam dira to allow eating and drinking, have a dayfin am b'Shabbos. The sukkah l'inyan Shabbos, it works as well for Hilchos Shabbos if it's a Shabbos d'ka sukkah. Amazing. So although Shabbos and sukkahs work so differently, there are many differences between Shabbos and sukkah. For instance, shlishis afilu tefach really only works for sukkah, doesn't work for Shabbos. We find another halacha coming up in the Gemara. Oymed merubah l'parts. Shabbos needs a full enclosure. So if within the mechitzas of Shabbos you have many holes, many doorways, in which case, in totality, you have more breaches than built portions, so it's not aimed more than the breaches, it doesn't work, because you're not separated, you're not partitioned. When it comes to sukkah, you don't have that requirement. Even if you have many openings in your walls, as long as they're valid walls, as long as you have that appearance of an enclosure, that's okay. You're creating a makadir, that's enough. Shabbos is a partition, is a machitz, is a divider. Sukkur is creating a makam dir within. It works differently. Still says Rava, if it works for one, it works for the other. You don't differentiate. And therefore, if it happens to be Shabbos and Sukkos, and this is a proper Sukkah, it's considered the Rosh Hashayachar even for Shilchah Shabbos for Karen. Says the Gemara, Esvi Abayi had a kasha. Umi Amrinan Migu. Do we really say this concept of Migu? Since it works for this, it works for that. But Tanya, listen to this, Bryce. Daven Sukkah Kadaven Shabbos. When something is regarded like a wall for Shabbos, it works for Sukkah as well. Suppose you have sticks, horizontal konim lined up next to each other, with gaps in between. Just as it works for Shabbos, or just as it works by Shabbos when you have just horizontal ropes within three tefachim, it works for Sukkah as well. Daven Sukkah Kadaven Shabbos. As long as there's no gap or three tefachim between these poles. There's a chumra that Shabbos has over Sukkah. Shabbos ain't in a terrace, elbow aimed, merubal parts. In order to carry on Shabbos, the machitzes surrounding the Shayachat need to be mostly built. The aimed portion, the built portion, the solid portion has to be more than the breaches. Mashaykin b'sukkah, as opposed to a sukkah where that halacha doesn't apply. Even if there are more breaches than built portions, if you have two walls and a bit, you're okay because you've created an enclosure. It appears like a separate area. Shabbos needs a machitza, a partition, a true separator. That only works if it's mostly built, and it could separate. But by sukkah, as long as you've created a place which is enclosed, it appears like a place of dwelling, that's okay. Says Abaye, my love, should we not learn the brayse like this? Yaseir Shabbos to Sukkah, a Sukkah. Even when it's a Shabbos Sukkah, right? You have a Sukkah on Shabbos. There'll be a Chumrah pertaining to the Hilchos Shabbos today over the Halachos of Sukkah, of eating and drinking in the Sukkah. Meaning, if you have a sukkah, which is a proper enclosure for a sukkah, but it's more breached than oimid, more porous than oimid. So we split the halacha. When it comes to the Shabbos aspect, carrying aspect, doesn't work. It's not valid. That's a chumrah that Shabbos has over hilchos sukkah. My love, should we not assume the brisa means yiseir Shabbos the sukkah? The Shabbos aspect of the sukkah is more chumer a sukkah on the sukkah aspect. But we don't say if it works for sukkah, it works for Shabbos. Has a kasha on you, Rava. It's more light. That's not what the brisa meant. Certainly, when Shabbos and sukkahs come together, whatever works for one works for the other. We don't differentiate. The brisa meant like this: Yiseir Shabbos the alma al Shabbos a sukkah. Generally speaking, Hilchos Shabbos have a chumrah over a Shabbos to a sukkah. So typically, mechitzas Shabbos need mostly oimed. But if it so happens to be that this is a sukkah, and it's Shabbos and sukkah is coming together in tandem, of course, just as it's considered an enclosure for sukkahs, it's considered an enclosure for carrying purposes as well for Shabbos. You say Shabbos the alma. A general Shabbos has a chumrah over Shabbos and Sukkah. But certainly if it's Shabbos and Sukkah together, if it's valid for Sukkah, it's valid for Shabbos. If it's valid for Shabbos, it's valid for Sukkah. Says Mo'yachi, if that's the case, that when Shabbos and Sukkah come together, you don't differentiate. Listening, Nami, why don't the Brisa present another halach, another contrast? Yiseir Sukkah de Alma, Asukah the Shabbos. We find a chumrah in a typical sukkah, sukkah the alma, not a Shabbos sukkah, a sukkah, a weekday sukkah. A chumrah which is present there and not present, asukah the Shabbos, when it happens to be a Shabbos sukkah. Meaning the halachas of sukkah during the weekdays have a chumrah over sukkah the Shabbos, over the sukkah element if it's a Shabbos sukkah. Meaning there's a kula when it's a Shabbos sukkah. Because we find that a case where Shabbos has a kula over sukkah, and since it happens to be Shabbos and sukkahs, sukkah will benefit from the Shabbos aspect as well. If it works for you, it works for me, and I can eat here. What is that? Dilu sukkah da'alma b'oyu tefach soichik. Because typically a sukkah needs to have a tefach soichik for the third wall, as we discussed earlier. So it needs a full tefach, even more. Dilu sukkah the Shabbos, but if it's a Shabbos sukkah, like b'oyu tefach soichik, you don't need that much. V'sagi b'lechi, even a small side post. Less than a tefach is enough, because it works for Shabbos. And since it's considered an enclosure for Shabbos, even when it's less than a tefach, it should work for eating and drinking as well. Because you, Rav, had said that the kula of Shabbos can be transferred over to Sukkah as well, if it happens to be Shabbos and Sukkah together. He puts tzchach on top of an alleyway, two parallel walls, which has a lechi at the end. It's not a tefach, just a little side post. The lechi is regarded as a machitza. We view it as though it stretches over to the other side. And halacha by Shabbos. And since it's considered an enclosure for Shabbos, it's kosher for sukkah as well. So according to you, that Shabbos and sukkah are synonymous. When it's a Shabbos, tikka sukkah, each party benefits from the other. Whatever works for sukkah is applied for Shabbos as well. Whatever works for Shabbos, applied for Sukkah as well. Why didn't the Brisa present this halacha as well? That the kul of the lechi applies to Sukkah. How late strichleit? There was no need to just present that. Why? It's pashut. Hashta mekilta lechamirta amrinan. Because once you told me that the halacha of Sukkah is more kal than Shabbos, can be transferred over to Shabbos, which is more chomer. Mikilta lechamir tamrinan. That was the first case in the Brayse. That when you have shtaim kilchos and shlishis afilat tefach, just as it works for Sukkah, works for Shabbos. Once you've said that, mechamirta lekilta lekoshke. Of course, a halacha that's applicable by Shabbos, which is more chomer than Sukkah, can be transferred, can be carried over to the kilta, to the Sukkah, which is more kal. Such as in the case of the lechi mashu. Of course, that's pasha that it works. Lekoshke, there's no need to discuss it. So bottom line is Rava holds, although theoretically, the Mechitza guidelines regarding Shabbos are very different than the specifications by Sukkah, because you're doing two different things. Shabbos is a divider, a partition, a separator, in which case you need to be fully enclosed. Three Mechitzas, two and a bit is not enough. Number two, it needs to be mostly standing, mostly oimet, to create a partition. Whereas by Sukkah, since you're creating a Mokum Dira, you're just fashioning an enclosed area. As long as it appears like a separate entity, that's enough. Two walls and a bit is enough. Even if it's mostly breached, that's enough. It appears like an enclosure. So they work fundamentally different. But when they come together, it's a Shabbos sukkah. Whatever works for this, works for that. Guf Amar Rava. Let's review what Rava said. Sichech agave mavi sheish lechik shir. So if he puts tzchach on top of this alleyway, which has a lechi, just as it works for Shabbos, it works for Sukkah. V'amar Rava, yet a third halach, where we see that Shabbos will benefit Sukkah. Sichach agabei pasi b'rois k'sher, puts tzchach on the four corners around the bear, around the well, that's also fine. Because it works for Shabbos, so it works for Sukkah, you can eat and drink and sleep in there. Says Rashi on top, pasi b'rois. This is discussed by Perek Sheni de Irvin. Tanan, we learned in Mishnah, Tiruch HaChamim Shem Eilu Regal. On account of the Eilu Regal and their water needs, when they come to Yerushalayim, HaChamim applied a leniency. Last week, Birois, Shem Shem Zerabim, Pasin Arbo. So these Birois, it's a plural for Be'er, Be'er, in Shem Shem Zerabim, they allowed Pasin Arbo to position these four corners, these L-shaped corners, around these be'eros. Kamoi d'yumden. We learned earlier, d'yumden is du, like in French, du. Aymed, a double post. So a multi-directional post. Four L-shaped posts around this be'er. V'roin ki'lish mechitzim zelazet. We give it the status of closed up. As though it's closed up, there's a mechitza running from corner to corner. It's like a Pesach. The Gemara tells us it has to be within the shear of a Pesach, 10 amos, which could be considered a Pesach. So we view the entire area as though it's enclosed. And we view the bar as though it's filled with mechitza, surrounded with mechitza, which allows you to fill water from the bear to draw into the area between the mechitzas. Until this point, it was considered shesirab, but now since it's surrounded by mechitzas, it has a separate reshuyus, it's considered shesayachot. V'msichich al gam nukshir b'shabbos. This sukkah, it says Rava. Since it's considered shesayachot for Shabbos, if you happen to place schach on top of these deyumdin, on these pasei birois, you'll find even for sukkahs. You can eat, drink, sleep in there. Why? The migud avadayfin l'shabbos. Since it works for Shabbos, it's considered shesayachot for Shabbos. Havadayfin l'sukkah. It carries over to Hilchas Sukkah as well. Va'afa gavda be'in shtayim kol chasam. Although typically, sukkah needs two proper walls, right? Remember the chacham held back on that. Dalid, you can't just use corners. You can't use the yumnit for sukkah. Here it's different. Why? Happens to be Shabbos today. And since these are sufficient for Shabbos, we don't differentiate. It's considered a separate entity for Shabbos. By default, it's considered a proper sukkah as well. Tosis points out, although the Gemara there speaks about the fact that the Chum only allowed it for the Oile Regolim because of the mitzvah, says Tosis the same thing here. It's a mitzvah. It's a Seder Reis, it's in the sukkah. And therefore, they allow this leniency to be applied for sukkah as well. So we have three cases presented by Rava, which we see that we carry over halachis. First case was Shtayim Kilchosn or Shlishis Tefach works for sukkah. It's going to work on the Shabbos Dikas Sukkah as well, for Hilchas Shabbos for carrying purposes. We had a case where he was Masachich on the Mavi, which has a Lechi. Since it works for Shabbos, it works for sukkah. He was Masach on the Pasei Birois, it works for Shabbos, it works for sukkah. Utzricha. Now, why did Rava have to present the same concept in three different ways? Is there a chiddush in each one? Yes, there is. The Yashmina Mavi. If only in the case of Mavi, I would say, oh, Mishum de'ikah shteit tfanis mal yasa, because over there you have two proper walls, one on either side. That's why it works for sukkah. Aval gabe pasim b'rois, de'lekah shteit tfanis mal yasa, but by pasim, where all you have is four L-shaped corners. You don't have proper walls. Emily, perhaps that's too much to allow for sukkah. V'yashmin pasiv erois. Had he mentioned that, I would say, yeah, mishum de'ikah sheim arba tefanis, because it gives the impression of four walls. So although you don't have even a single full wall, but end of the day, the place looks enclosed. Standing outside, you see, well, an enclosed area. It appears, it has the resemblance of four walls, because there are four corners there. So perhaps that's why it works. We place tzchach on the two parallel walls, the alleyway, the lekha shem arvat funnets. We don't have an impression of four walls. And perhaps it wouldn't work for sukkah. That's why you have to mention that as well. If yashmin hanetarti, had he only mentioned these two, I would say, well, mechamirta lekilta. You're carrying over halachas of Shabbos to sukkah. If it works. If it works for Shabbos, and consider it a shashyachat there, it can work for sukkah as well, which is more kal than Shabbos. It's only mitzvah saseh. But what about in the reverse? Ava mikilta l'chamirta emeloi. Perhaps I can't carry over sukkah specifications to Shabbos. Sukkah is more kal than Shabbos. Perhaps Shabbos requires more. So who's to tell you that shtayim kilchosan or shlishis tefach, which works by sukkah, will benefit carrying on Shabbos as well? Tzricha, that's why I have to mention all three cases. We connect them in all different situations. We carry over to and fro. So conclusion. Rav introduces a new concept of a migud in a case where it happens to be Shabbos and Sukkot together. We say whatever works for one works for the other. So you find two cases where Sukkot will benefit Shabbos. If it's considered adequate for Sukkot, it's considered adequate for Shabbos. What are the two cases? Shlishi Tafilu Tefach, which is a Sukkot concept. It's going to allow carrying for Shabbos as well. Poritz M'Rabba La'imit, more breached than standing. It works for sukkah. It's going to work for Shabbos as well. The same thing the other way around. We have two cases which work for Shabbos and will be exported to sukkah as well. Sichich gabi mavi, which has a lechi less than a tefach, it's considered shesuyachet for Shabbos. Likewise for sukkah, it's considered a kosher sukkah. He was masachich on the pasi berois. Since it's considered shesuyachet for sukkah for Shabbos, they work for sukkah as well. Continues the Gemara v'shachamosam ruv mitzlosa psul. If sunlight in the sukkah overrides the shade, it's possible. Tan rabban chamosa machmasich. That's only if the schach is porous and results in abundance of sunlight. V'loy machmas tfonis. However, let's say the schach is proper schach, a proper barrier. But the sukkah is filled with sunlight because the walls, the tfonis, are porous. There's no concern there. The schach has a shade, has a shelter, not the walls. Rabbi Yashi, Amar, Imer, Af Machmas Tfonis. The walls as well have to provide shade. And therefore, if the sukkah is filled with sunlight because of the porous walls, the walls are not kosher. Amar, Rabbi Yemre, Bar Shlamiya, Mishmeid Abayi, my time, Rabbi Yashi. Where do you get this halacha from? The chsiv is the pasuk by the Mishkan. V'sachoyse ala oranis ha-pareches. Pareches was the curtain which hung as a partition between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'sachoysa ala oroin as a pareches. So you might use the pareches as a sakoysa, as a schach on the oroin. What do you mean? Pareches mechitza. It's a vertically standing mechitza. Why does the Torah refer to it as schach? Alma mechitza k'schach bein, apparently, says Riashia. Mechitza is like schach. It has to provide shelter. It has to provide shade from sunlight. Therefore, he says, just as a schach has to provide more tzeil than chama, likewise the mechitzas. Now, interesting, Tosfos points out Amud Aleph. This that we learned that the poles, the konim, the vertical poles positioned within three tevachim to each other create a mechitza for Shabbos and for sukkah as well, says Tosfos, is not Rabbi Yeshua, because he requires solid walls, which provide protection from the sun as well. So he brought a right from the pasuk v'sakoy sa la'ornes ha'pareches. V'rabbonon, how did Rabbonon respond to that pasuk? Ahu the nekev be'purt. Typically, a machitza is machitza; it's not schach. Here you have to bend the pareches a bit. The pasuk is teaching you that the pareches should present itself somewhat like schach, like a covering. The nekev be'purt is meant to bend the top over a little bit. The mechitza is schach, which will appear like it's hovering and protecting the aron. Amar Abaye. We're going to have a comprehensive list of many Tanoim who subscribe to the concept of sukkah being a diras kva. It's not just a temporary dwelling, like a shack, which is just used for sukkahs. It has prominence. It appears in its design, in its function, like a place of dwelling. Here comes the list. Rebbe, Rabbi Yashia, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rav Gamliel, Beis Shammai, Rav Leza, Racherim, which is Rav Meir, Kulu, Svirlu, all agree, they all hold, Sukkah, Diras, Kva, Bina. Let's go over to Rashi, over to the left here. Diras, Kva, says Rashi. How do we define Diras, Kva? Ru'i, L'shtamish, Kavua. It's suitable for proper functions. Veniras, Kabayis, and it also appears like a bias. So twofold. It has to serve properly, and it has to appear in its configuration like a bias. Now, Tosfos will point out for us, of course, all these shitas don't necessarily concur with each other as per how to apply the concept. We're going to see in the Gemara soon. But they're all based on the same precept. The sukkah isn't just a diras arai. It isn't just considered a place of dwelling by virtue of the fact that you're going and using it. Just the opposite. You have to enter a makom dira. The sukkah has to present itself as a makom dira to allow use on sukkahs. There are different applications of this concept, as we're going to see. Let's go down the list. Says the Gemara Rebbe, what do we find that he holds? He needs a dira's kva. The Sani Rebbe, I mean, we learned this earlier, called sukkah she'en ba'arba almas, al da'ad amas psula. It's less than 4x4 amas. 4 amas is a makom shel adam, as the Gemara in Erevin tells us. It's enough to lie, to stretch. Otherwise, it's not a dira's kva. Rabbi Yashia Adamorin, as we just said earlier. Even the walls have to be solid. That's the Diras Kva. Rabbi Yehuda, where do we find him? The Snan, the first Mishnah. Sukkah, she gevoy elamalam chaf amah, psul. It's above 20, it's possible. because it presents like a diras kva. Rabbi the Ma'akshir says fine. And then he brings another Gemara as well, which is based on diras kva of Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a bed within a sukkah, you lie underneath that bed, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're fine because the bed is just a kli. It's an oila harai, and the sukkah supersedes that because the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is treated like a binyan kva. How do we know that? Because he's makshir above 20. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda regarded a sukkah as a permanent dwelling, therefore he was makshir even above 20. The more the better, the higher the better. For Rabbi Shimon, where do we find him? The Sanya, Beis Kilchasal, the Gimel Afilu Tefach. Chacham hold, a sukkah needs two and a bit. Rabbi Shimon, I mean more than that. It's to be properly enclosed. Gimel Kilchasal, the Dal Afilu Tefach. You need to be surrounded by three sides, and the fourth one can be a Tefach. That's like the Pesach HaSukkah. Because he holds, it needs to be a proper enclosure. Rabbi Gamliel, the Sanya, he built a sukkah on top of a wagon. Oh, it's moving about around, it's portable, that's not a diras kva. Oibresh asfina on top of the ship, where the wind could just blow it away. Rabbi Gamliel paisal, it's not a diras kva. Rabbi Kiva Maksha, he doesn't need a diras kva. Where do we find Mishamai? It's not Mishai, Rishi Rubu the sukkah. If one was sitting in the sukkah, Vishalchom, he's like a bias, his table's in the home. And you may remember that on Afkim Amal Alf, the Gemara proved that the Mishnah here is referring also to sukkah size. What's a sukkah katana? What's the minimum size of a sukkah? According to Beis Shammai, it has to be 7x7 to accommodate a table. If it's less than that, Beis Shammai Paislin. We still makshir. Apparently, Beis Shammai maintained that the sukkah needs to be roi l'tashmish. It has to be a place which is roi for eating. It has to be able to accommodate a table. A diras kva. Where do you find Rabbi Eliezer? This nana, oisa sukkah sukkah min srif. So this sukkah looks like a teepee. Two walls with no roof. Oisa smacha lekoisla, or you lean the schach against the wall. Again, there's no ceiling there. Who has a poisla of shein el-gal? He doesn't have a roof. It doesn't appear like a proper place of dwelling. You walk in there, it's dizzying. V'chachamim achshirim. They say it's fine. Sukkah is dirs harayim. And finally, achirim, which is shittas Rav Meir. Gemara in Nehuri says that they refer to him as a cherim, as a punishment for an incident that happened there. So here we find a cherim. The sign of cherim aimrim, sukkah asuya kishoivach psula. Sukkah is configured like a birdhouse, like a round birdhouse. It's possible. Why? The vishayin lazavius. It has no corners. It doesn't have four distinct walls. You walk into a circular shaped structure. It's not called a diras kva. Let's go over to Rashi, around halfway down the Amud. Rashi begins with the words Shalosh Kol Chasim Uparshina and Tama Lamal Lamachsa Lamister Mizerim. This is Reb Shimon. You need three proper walls to protect from the elements. What about the Sukkah Barish HaSfina? Shigvayim Oid. That's very high. Kesfina Sayam Shein Gdoilis. What happens? Baruch Bova Krata and the wind just blows it away. Barish HaGolanam Yikim in the 90s. Since it's moving around, Mis Chazike in a ride looks like a temporary dwelling. It doesn't give the impression of something permanent. A sukkah which cannot accommodate a table, b'shami poison, the royal tashan shmeinim. A sukkah which appears like it's srif, can mean srif gagot v'niseh b'ayin ka'echa, the walls and the ceiling, all one entity, can kaveris like a beehive, shein gag nikar levad v'tonis levad. You can't separate between roof and walls, it's all one thing. It's just a teepee without a real ceiling. Osh yismacha l'kois, I took the schach and leaned it against the wall. Osh kanam aruchim, v'samach roish echad mutal l'kois, v'roish echad mutal l'oritz. Here again, it's missing a ceiling. The gag of a doifna echa, the roof and the wall, all one, shein lo gag, vein ala dira. It's not really something which presents itself as a proper place of dwelling. Kishoivach agul. So around sukkah, according to Achirim, does not conform to dira skvar, has no corners, has no distinct walls. Okay, let's review today's daf. We started with the halacha that a sukkah needs to be shtayim kilchasan. Where do you place that tefach? So it depends what type of sukkah we're speaking about. If we're speaking about an L-shaped configuration, which the Gemara refers to as shtayim kilchasan, we have six options. Rav says, very simple, place the tefach keneged hayetzi at the end of one of those walls. The next sheet to maintain reish tur. It has to present itself like a triangle. So angle that tefach towards the other wall to create a proper enclosure. The next sheet to held, you need to fashion that tefach into somewhat of a wall. You need a tefach soichik, a tefach plus, which is placed within three to the wall, which creates a barrier for tefach in size, which is most of Hekshar Sukkah. We have three versions in Rava. according to version 1, he held you have to take the tefach sechik, or maybe just one tefach. You have to take the tefach and split it into Turus HaPesach. So Rav introduces the concept of Turus HaPesach to the Sukkah now. We take that tefach, split it into two parts. Half tefach is placed near the edge of the L, and the other half, all on the other side, at the end of that imaginary wall, end of that third wall, and that's connected to a Turus HaPesach. According to the next lashon of Rava, it's either or. Either you take a tefach sechik placed within three to the wall, so you have a four tefach wall, or you can substitute that with a Turus HaPesach running all along that wall. Version 3 held, you need both tefach sechik within three to the wall to create a four tefach barrier, plus you have to continue that wall all the way to the end using a Turus HaPesach. Regarding an alleyway-shaped sukkah, two parallel walls, unconnected walls, Ravida maintains, it's just like the L-shaped walls. Let's take a tefach and place it at the edge. Go to the next shita, no. Here you have to take the tefach and really turn it into a wall. You have to take a pass, a board which is 4 plus, put it within 3 to one of those walls, which will now result in a 7 tefach wall, and now you have an L-shaped configuration for a total of 3 walls. Rav introduced the concept of migur, although typically Shabbos works with different guidelines in Sukkah. And as far again is that Shabbos is there to, the Mechitza of Shabbos is there to partition, to create a divider, separate between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah Yachid. In which case you need a proper enclosure, 3 Mechitzas, it needs to be mostly standing. Whereas Sukkah is an environment, it's a Mokam Dira. As long as it appears like an enclosed area, that's enough. That's standard procedure. But if it so happens to be that you have a Shabbos sukkah, says Rava, we bring over the halachas from Shabbos to sukkah, from sukkah to Shabbos. If it works for sukkah, for eating and sleeping, it works for carrying on Shabbos as well. And if it works for Shabbos, it works for sukkah. We have two cases, two examples to describe each one of these things. So the halacha of sukkah, which stretches over to Shabbos, is as follows. If it works for sukkah, it works for Shabbos. Porot merubal oimet works for sukkah and works for Shabbos as well. So even if the walls are mostly breached, it's considered an enclosure for sukkah, it's considered an enclosure for Shabbos. We have two cases which illustrate the halachas of Shabbos being carried over to sukkah. You have a mavi, an alleyway, two parallel machitzes, which has a little lechi at the end, less than a tefach. Since it can be used for carrying on Shabbos, it's considered a separate entity, even for Sukkah. Likewise, putting Tzchach and Pasi B'Rois, which are considered a proper enclosure for Shabbos purposes. Ritva says, it's Halacha Meshem Sinai, this type of enclosure is considered Shaz Yachid. And since it can be used for carrying on Shabbos, we consider it a separate entity. And it can be treated as a Mokam Dira and a Mokam Sukkah for eating on Sukkahs as well. We concluded with the halacha of chamasa merubim tzalasa, where according to the Tanakama, it's only a condition in the schach, but on the walls, according to Rabbi Yashia, it's a condition within the walls as well, because walls have to create shade, they have to provide a barrier from the sunlight as well. And then we're concluded with a comprehensive list of many shittis who hold that sukkah diras kva avinen. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabbah.